making changes. Anything that is not changing is not growing. If you're not making changes in your life, you're not growing as a human being. If we're not making changes in the way that we do church or that we do our programs, or all, if we're not making changes, then we're not growing. A lot of the growth that we are seeing today in our church are because of changes that we made a year ago. Change takes a long time to implement. Change takes a long time to work sometimes. But we always have to be changing, willing to change, to look at things differently, through different eyes. We have to be true to what we know to be scriptural. Never can we afford to get away from the principles of God's Word. God's Word is the foremost thing. It is our rule of faith and practice. We have to stay with the Word. You can say it in different ways. So today we're talking about making changes. Here are the things that we're talking about. We're using the word recovery, and we're using the acronym. Number one, the R was realize I'm not God. Now you think, well, I know I'm not God. Yeah, but we may know that, but the way we act sometimes, we act like God, our own God. Anytime that we choose to do things our way and not God's way, we're acting like we're God. And many times before we can have a turnaround in our life, we have to come to the end of ourselves where we realize that what we're doing and how we're doing what we're doing is not working. And I'm going to have to get off the throne of my heart, and I'm going to have to allow God to be God in my life. And this is big, because this is the thing that has to do with coming to faith. One of the biggest things that keeps people from coming to faith in Jesus Christ is pride. I'm a self-made man, pilgrim. I can handle it. I did it my way. We got all kinds of little cliches, and we're stubborn and prideful, and I can do it, and I can handle it, and I, you know, God, if I'll call on you if I need you. No, you need Him. And it's our own pride and ego that keeps us from coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And even after we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's our own pride and ego that keeps us from growing in Christ. How many of you know that God is not just interested in fire insurance? Some people get saved just so they won't go to hell, and they're content with that. God is not content with that. God didn't save you just so you don't go to hell. God saved you so He can use you for His glory. You were created for God. You were created for His purpose. You were created for His glory. You were not created for your own self. You were not created to be self-seeking, self-serving, selfish. But that's the story of the human race. We have been selfish. We have been our own God. Oh yeah, I know God, the big man upstairs. No. He wants to be the center of your life. And that process has to do, first of all, with you learning you're not God. You're not Him. So if I'm not God and my way is not the way that's going to get me where I need to be, then what am I going to have to do? The E is earnestly believe that God exists and that He has the power. He cares about me and that He has the power to change my life. See, the truth of the matter is you cannot change you. We cannot educate sin out of people. Sin is a stain. Sin is something that absolutely controls the lives of people. You cannot get people so educated that they will quit sinning. You know why a pig oinks? You know why a pig oinks? Oink, oink, oink. You know why a pig does that? Because he's a pig. That's his nature. You know why donkeys bray? Because that's their nature. You know why pigs go to the walla? That's their nature. They do what their nature is. Our nature before we come to Christ is sin. If you look at the world, it is perfecting sin. We cannot change that by ourselves. God is the only one who can break the power of sin in our lives, and He did that through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He did that. So we have to believe that, earnestly believe that God exists, that He cares about me. Now, if you believe that God doesn't love you, you're never going to receive His grace. When you come to know that God loves you, God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. When you believe that and begin to let that be a revelation to you, one of the greatest revelations in the entire Word of God is John 3:16. Now, we take that so much for granted. But it's a tremendous revelation. There are people out there today that they're goofed up and they're messed up and they think God hates them and they think God's after them and they think that God wants to punish them. That's not what God's interested in doing. There is a punishment that comes after death if we don't take God's provision. It's called hell. But hell was not created for you and me. It was created for the devil and his angels. But people who reject God's grace, that's where they'll go. We can't get away from that. But that's not God's design. That's not God's purpose. That's not what God wants for you, because He loves you. He loves me. So I have to believe that He cares about me and that He has the power to make the changes in my life. I have to believe that to come to faith. And even after I come to faith, I still have to believe that, because there are still some hurts, habits, and hang-ups that I have in my life that are a result of my old sinful life. Listen, just because your sins have been forgiven doesn't mean that you have overcome all of the effects of those things in your life. You still have some thinking in your mind that, if you follow that thinking, will lead you back to your sin. You still have some things in your life, unless you deal with those things, they're going to cause you to repeat that old behavior that will reestablish that old stronghold of sin in your life. God wants you to be free from all of that. If we're going to glorify God, if we're going to become Christ-like, if we're going to be all that we need to be, not only do we need to be saved, we need to be cleaned up. We need to have our thinking changed. After you get your nature changed, that's what happens when you make Jesus Lord. Then God begins to work on your thinking. We say this all the time. God loves you just like you are. He accepts you just like you are. But He loves you too much to leave you like you are. Now, you want to get saved and live any way you want to. That's what mankind would like to do. Yeah, I want to be saved. I want God's blessing, but I want to live life my way. That's not His plan. It don't work that way, Jack. Maybe there's not a Jack here. I wasn't talking to Jack. It don't work that way. It works His way. It works God's way. Then we talked about, number 3C, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. This is the step of faith where we say, okay, I'm not God. God, I see that You love me. I believe You exist. I believe that You love me. And I believe that You have the power to change me. Lord, I'm giving You control of my life. It's called surrender. This is something that we do to get saved, but it's something that you constantly have to do every day as a believer to keep growing in Christ. See, the biggest problem with most of our churches, I should say all of our churches, is we have believers in our churches who are not growing. And furthermore, they don't care if they grow or not. And if they have to put any effort in it, they're definitely not going to do that. I mean, I've got to read my Bible. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to pray. I've got to serve. Well, you know, if it's convenient, I might, but I got to do those things in order to grow. Yes, it's called God's way. We got to learn to give ourselves away so that God can use us and fulfill us and fulfill His pleasure through us in this world. Last week, we talked about openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to another person I trust. This is where we begin to examine our lives. We do a moral inventory. When we talk about a moral inventory, we're talking about the ethic that drives our life. How many of you know that there are such things as Christian ethic? These are ways that God has laid out. These are called the pathways. A pathway is a proven course. Honesty is an ethic. It's a proven course. Trusting is an ethic, and it is a proven course. As we adopt these ethics, these morals in our life, they become the guiding principles of our lives. But sometimes we get hung up in one of these areas of our lives and we can't forgive. When we do not forgive, we violate a Christian ethic. Therefore, if I can't forgive, then I need to start digging and see why I can't forgive. I need to do an inventory of my life and begin to examine. I'm having trouble forgiving. I'm having trouble trusting. I'm having trouble doing what I know that the ethics that I've chosen to live by, I'm having trouble with this ethic. I'm having a faithfulness problem. I have trouble being faithful. Did you know faithfulness is a Christian ethic? That doesn't mean just to your spouse. It just means to God. It just means faithfulness in every area of your life. And many times our lives do not line up with the ethic, the Christian ethic. So therefore, if we're going to grow, we have to start examining ourselves. This is not pleasant. Now, we love examining somebody else. I like examining Ricky. Ooh, it's easy to examine Ricky. I can see his faults. I can see his hang-ups. You know, I can see. And it's not even painful if I examine Ricky. It's not even painful if I judge Ricky. Or Randy. But when I have to do it to David, oh, I don't like that. Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to find something that's not right. I'm afraid I'm going to have to face something, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to start making some changes. Guess what? You are. So we have to openly, everybody say openly, examine. Ooh, examine. This is a moral inventory. And confess. Not only do I have to examine those things, I've got to confess them. Number one, I have to confess it to myself. You know who you lie to the most? You lie to your own self. That's not a problem. I can quit that anytime I want to. That doesn't control my life. Everybody around you know that habit controls your life. Your anger controls your life. Your smoking controls your life. You can't quit. Your drugs control your life. Your whatever it is, your unforgiveness controls your life. You know the bad thing about unforgiveness is that the person that I do not forgive is in control of my life. I allow that person, my hate for that person, to be the controlling factor in my life. I've got something that's got to be examined. I've got to dig deep. Don't want to dig deep. What I want God to do, I want God to take His fairy wand. And I want Him to tap me on the head, and I want all of my stinking thinking to be gone. I want all of this stuff that I have to dig out and study and renew my mind to. I want all of that to just instantly be gone. You know, sometimes God delivers people instantly of certain things like drugs or alcohol. But drugs and alcohol is not always the root problem. It's sin that's the root problem. And it's the sin issues that we have to deal with in our lives. And this is something only a Christian can do. Unbelievers can't do this. Until you come to faith in Jesus and have a nature change, you're incapable of examining your life. You're incapable of changing your thinking because you still oink like a pig. Whatever your nature is, that's what you do by nature. When we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, guess what? We have a new nature. We're driven by something that's different. All of a sudden, the old sinful lifestyle becomes something that's not comfortable to us anymore. This new lifestyle, there's a conflict. I still want to do this, but when I do, I feel so bad. I'm thinking, praise God. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I've got problems. I'm sinning and I feel bad. And I say, praise God. When they come to you, say, you know, the Bible says that sin, but I don't feel bad about it. Then there's a problem. There's a real problem if you don't feel bad about your wrongdoing. But thank God that one thing that happens when we become new creatures is that we have a consciousness. We have a God consciousness. And He writes His laws and His statutes in our heart because He changes our nature. And when we violate that, there's something that says, ew, ick. That don't feel good. I better get back over here. That's what it's designed to do. So as we begin to openly examine and confess my faults, first of all to myself, secondly to God, you're not even ready to confess to God until you're ready to confess to yourself. I have a problem. I have sinned. I think about King David. All of the bad stuff he did. All because he went out on his roof one evening and saw a naked woman. He said, I got to have her. So he had her. He got her pregnant. He tried to cover it up. Wound up having her husband killed. And he tried. His whole life was covered up, cover up, cover up. Then the man of God came in. The prophet Samuel came in and says, told a story that had a moral to it. About this guy who came in, and this guy had this precious little lamb, and this other guy who had all kinds of sheep come in, and he took that lamb away and killed it and ate it. King David says, oh, the man who did that shall surely die. And the Samuel says, you are the man. You know what he said after that? He says, I have sinned. Nothing could begin to change until he realized and confessed to himself, I have sinned. When you make excuses for your wrongdoing, you're not being real. You're not being honest. Let me tell you something. We do not get to make up the rules. I know a lot of people, they want to create God like they want God to be. No, it's not me and Jesus got our own thing going. We do. I love Tom T. Hall. He was one of my favorite country singers when I was a kid. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. I don't need any fancy preachers. I don't need any fancy church. No. We don't do it our way. We don't get to make the rules. God made the rules long, long time ago. And those principles and precepts work. Our principles and precept leads to death. His leads to life. So when we come to grips with what is right and we confess our sin, first of all, to ourself, hey, I messed up. Then God can say, oh, I can do something about that now. But as long as you make excuses about it, all you do is cover it over. And you're covering over a bad seed. And it will produce a harvest that you won't be happy with. But if you will confess it, God can uproot it before it produces death. Okay? He'll uproot it before it produces death. But you have to confess, I have sinned. You have to admit it to God and to another person I trust. Oh, you mean I got to be transparent? Yeah, you got to be transparent. You don't get up in front of the church and tell them all your sins. But you do need sometimes an accountability partner. You need somebody to say, listen, I need to share this with you because I need to get it off my chest. I did this. Well, that's hard. Maybe a Christian counselor. Could be a lay pastor. It could be anybody, a close friend. But that's something that we need to do. Then today, the V, we need to voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. I wonder how many people in here today have character defects. That would be all of us. If you think you're perfect, then I want to tell you something. You have a character defect, and that's your character defect right there. I have arrived. No. You've got a character defect. You're deceived. You know, if you have that attitude, everybody around you knows it except you. And you might as well wake up, fess up, and start to change, because things have to change. So we have to voluntarily, the word is voluntarily. You know why that is? Because we're all free moral agents. God has given us the ability to choose. We have something that no other animal has. We have volition. We have the ability to think, to reason, to make conscious decisions and choose. We are not driven just by instinct. Now, animals are driven by instinct. Animals do the things that they do by instinct. Their breeding season is by instinct. Their survival mechanisms are by instinct. Now, we do have some basic instincts, but we have something they don't. We have the ability to think, reason, and choose. We call it free will. Free will. Nobody else has that. We have been given that. In fact, God will not violate your ability to choose in this life. He says, "Today I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose." It's up to you to choose. Life, death, blessing, cursing. Well, an idiot would choose death and cursing. But there's a lot of idiots out there because that's what they choose. Okay. I got to get going. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is a different translation. "Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and to pleasing Him. And let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind." This is written to Christians. This was not written to unbelievers. This is something that He wants us to do. He wants us to freely give ourselves to Him so that He can do the transformation in our thinking that needs to be done. God will only do in your life what you give Him permission to do. He will not override your will. He will not make you do anything that you want to in this life. You have free choice. Okay, let's talk about this a minute. Where do my defects of character come from? And we all have them. Defects of character. There's a character problem. Where do those defects come from? Number one, my chromosomes. There are some things that are in our DNA that are passed from generation to generation to generation. We have tendencies that are passed from generation to generation to generation. When Kevin was little, he didn't get this from me. He must have got it from his mama. He pitched little mad fits. He has a son that can throw little mad fit. He throws himself in the floor and he kicks and he screams. He did not learn that behavior because Kevin don't act that way anymore. Does he, Ashley? He has mastered his anger issues. But little Ethan, I mean, he was just a little bitty fella. And he was just, bow his back and fall on the floor and pitch a fit. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, who does that child belong to? He belongs to his daddy. There are some things that just occur in families. Now, it does not go back to our godly nature, okay? It has to do with fallen man. Okay? You know we don't pass righteousness through our genes. When we come into this world because of Adam's sin, we're all affected by sin. It gets into our DNA. Now that does not excuse sinful behavior. You cannot say, that's just the way I was made. No, we have tendencies, but it does not excuse sin. You know why? Because we all have the power to choose to be different. Okay? We do have the power to choose to be different. You don't have to do every... You don't have to act on every impulse that you have. Listen, if you act on every impulse that you have as a human being, you're going to be in trouble fast. Lust. You better not act on that. You'll be in trouble. Big time. You know what? You know when man begins to live like an animal? He really goes down in a hurry. When he starts living by his instincts, by his whatever drives him at the moment, if it feels good, do it. He's going to kill himself in a hurry. It's not until we begin to choose the precepts and principles of God that we begin to come out of these things and begin to go forward. Can you say amen? So they come from my chromosomes. Number two, they come from my circumstances. Every one of us were raised in different circumstances. Some of you were raised in good homes, blessed homes. Some of you were raised in dysfunctional homes. Some of you were raised in drug homes. Some of you, whatever your circumstances are, they affect your character. They really do. And oftentimes, these are attempts to fulfill unmet needs. Unmet needs. We just go about them wrong. The third thing is my choices. Every one of us has the power to choose. If you were raised in a drug home, that doesn't mean that you have to take drugs. You may be predisposed because of the example, but you don't have to follow that example. Just because you were raised in a broken home doesn't mean that you have to get a divorce. Just because your parents didn't do right, that doesn't mean that you have to mess up like they did. Because you have the power to choose. You know, a lot of times, character defects are positive qualities being misused. It's character that we just misused in a way. We've made the wrong choice. Being stubborn is not necessarily a bad thing. If you use that stubbornness to refuse to give in to the world, if you use that willfulness to follow God, being emotional is not necessarily a bad thing. Being analytical is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be. It can, you see, there's a positive and negative to most anything that we do. Why is it so hard to change these character issues? And it really is a challenge. It really is a challenge to change. And the reason it is because you can't do it by yourself. You have to have help. You have to have help. You've got to. So why is it so hard to change? Number one, because I've had them so long. I mean, you get perfected in some of this character issues. We perfect sin. Just think about the progression of pornography. Something that might start out as something that is a natural instinct about being attracted to the opposite sex. And you take that and you misapply it through something that seems very innocent. You're never happy with that. You have to take the next step, then the next step, then the next step, then the next step, then the next step, and then the first thing you know, you're hooked on something. You're hooked on pornography. You're hooked on drugs. You're hooked on alcohol. You're hooked into a eating disorder of some kind. But a lot of times it just starts out with something that's very normal, but we allow it to morph and to come into something that it wasn't designed to be. But it's been with us so long. I've been angry so long, and it's hard to change. Number two, because I identify with them. We say, you know, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. That's the way God made me. No, that's a lie. That's not the way God made you. You chose. You were predisposed through your environment. You may have had that natural tendency, but you still had to choose it. You identify with it. It becomes a part of your personality. It becomes a part of who you are. And then a lot of times it has a payoff. It has a payoff. There's pleasure in sin for a season. You want to have some fun? Get out there and sin. I'm not recommending that. But there is a payoff. But then there's another payoff. And you don't like that one. Another one is because Satan discourages me. Satan comes to you and says, you know what? You can't ever change. You can't ever be any different than what you are. You've messed up so many times that God doesn't even love you. There's no hope for you. And we buy into some of that stuff sometimes. And we allow that to control our lives. How do I cooperate with God's change process? The second part of Romans 12:2 says this: be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's only one thing, folks, that can change us. Are you paying attention? If you don't get any other thing, get this. It's the Word of God in your heart that can change you. That's the only hope that you ever have, is the washing of the water of the Word in your mind. And it takes time. How long does it take me to be completely like Christ? Till I stand in front of Him. This is a process. See, some people think, okay, I got saved instantly. Then I go over here and I get filled with the Holy Spirit instantly. Now I want to get over here and I want to get sanctified instantly. I want to be perfect instantly. It don't work that way. It's a process. You didn't get goofed up overnight. And you're not going to get ungoofed overnight. It's a lifelong project. You might as well get used to it. You might as well establish the habits that you need to establish in order that change can take place. And it's called the renewing of your mind. And the only thing that can change your mind is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive. It's, number one, alive. Number two, it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You can't tell the difference in your soul and your spirit. You can't dissect it into it. But the Word of God can go in there and it can distinguish it, because it is so powerful. It's so refined. It's so penetrating that the Word of God can expose things within you that needs to be changed. You thought it was your personality. You thought it was part of your makeup. But no, it's sinful. It's sinful characteristics that lead to death. And you need to change them. Amen? So that is, how am I going to cooperate? Well, number one, focus on changing one defect at a time. You say, you mean I got more than one defect? Folks, you got a whole bunch of defects. We come here defected. Thanks to Adam. Thanks to sin. We come here defected. You've got more than one defect, but work on one at a time. Work on one at a time. It says in Proverbs 17:24, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. You know what? There's an old proverb that says, if you chase two rabbits, both will escape. If you chase both rabbits, both will escape. If you try to do too many things at one time, you'll get nothing done. Work on one defect at a time. Number two, focus on victory one day at a time. Enjoy your little victories. There are daily victories, and we need to focus on victory one day at a time. How many of you ever read Louis L'Amour? Anybody ever read his stuff? He said this, "Victory is won not in miles, but in inches. With a little now, hold your ground, and later win a little more." It's not miles. It's an inch at a time. It's a day at a time. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. "Yeah, but I want it all now." You couldn't take it all now. You couldn't absorb it. You couldn't comprehend it. It's an ongoing thing that has to keep going and going and going and going. Okay, then it says, focus on God's power, not willpower. Your willpower will not change you. It's going to take God's power to change you. Give up. Give up. I can handle it. No, give up. Lord, it's your power. It's His power working in us that brings the change. Then the next thing says this, focus on what I want, not what I don't want. In other words, be positive. Don't focus on the negative. "Well, I need to overcome this addiction." No, focus on the positive. "I need to be like Christ Jesus." As long as you're negatively based, you're going to be negative in your thinking and negative in your talking. Lift up your eyes and look at the prize. Focus on the prize. Focus on the end result. Focus on who you are in Christ Jesus, not who you are in sin. And then, something died. Focus on doing good, not feeling good. Focus on doing good, not feeling good. Not everything that feels good is good for you. Focus on doing the right thing, not feeling the right thing. Don't be feeling oriented, be doing oriented. And then, focus on people who help me, not hinder me. You're going to have to make some changes in your life. Who you hang out with, who you listen to, who you read. We need to be around positive people, not negative people. We need to be around people who have solutions, not people who espouse the problems. Amen? Focus on progress, not perfection. Because you know what? There's not enough time. If you live to be 120 years old, there's not enough time for you to be perfect. That's going to happen in eternity. But we need to be focusing on progress. One day at a time. One foot in front of the other. Step, step, progress. Progress, not perfection. Because if you're perfection oriented, you're going to get discouraged. If you're progress oriented, you're going to make steps. Amen? Let's pray. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. We're going to open this up. We went over a little bit today, but we had communion. Prayer team, would you come? Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for the word. Thank you that we as people can have hope. We can have hope and we can change because it's through your power that we can be changed. If you're here today and you have a need that has to do with the ministry of the word today, we invite you to come. Or any